if you had grown up like I did in the 60s and 70s in a little town called Breckenridge, Texas, you would have been like every other little boy that grew up in that town in that time period. Your dream in life would have been to be a Breckenridge Buckaroo. That's right. We were called the Buckaroos. I tried to find our symbol, our insignia, to show it to you, but man, I couldn't find it anywhere. But to be a varsity football player in that little western Texas town was a big deal. At least it was a big deal in our family. But in that kind of culture, sports really did rule. The fall was for football. Football took precedence over all other schedules in the fall. In winter, then, basketball became a part of our thing, where the, you know, you didn't have really any options. If you wanted to play sports, you played basketball in the winter. But when the spring came around, you had to make a choice. You could either play baseball or track and field. And every year I chose to play baseball. First of all, I liked baseball. Secondly, you didn't have to run as much in baseball as you did in track. And thirdly, and most importantly, I stunk at track and field. But one day, I found myself at the track. It must have been a few days before baseball started. And I took note of a guy pole vaulting. He was a friend of mine, a fellow football player, and I sat back and I knew that he was pretty good at this sport. And so I sat back and I watched him a few times. You know, how he would step off, how far back he was going to run. And he had set the pole. That pole is long and huge, and it's hard to balance. And so he would take off running, and then you take this long pole and stick it into a hole, try to bend it back and throw. Ow. Tweak my knee. And throw yourself over the top of this pole. And so I watched him a few times, and I thought, I think I can do that. I really think that I can do that. So I walked up to him and I said, man, let me try that. He said, are you sure? And I said, give me that pole. And so I went back the same distance that he did, and I tried to set the pole like he did, and I took off running. That pole was just bouncing like that, you know, and I actually ran too fast and had not the control of the pole, so that I missed the hole I was supposed to stick it into. So I just kind of, you know, threw it down and jumped on the mat. The second time, I knew I had to be in a little bit better control. And so I ran, and I was balancing the pole better, and I stuck the pole in the hole, but then I wasn't running fast enough to actually bend it and throw me over, so I just kind of stuck it in there and it kind of jolted me back a little bit. But then the third time, I tried to put it all together and something like this happened. Yeah, that was me. One thing I learned through that experience was this. God gives gifts as he chooses. We can't choose to be what we want to be. I couldn't choose to be a pole vaulter. I wouldn't be alive today. God gives gifts as He chooses. We're going to start talking about spiritual gifts. The Apostle Paul gives us an understanding of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And that's where we're going to be in the next few weeks. But here's what I want you to know. You will never be the me you've always wanted to be until you discover how it is God wants you to serve Him. And I'm well aware that by far the majority of Christians, especially today, or of church-going people today, I'm well aware of the 80-20 rule, and it's probably worse than that now, that 80% of the people in any gathering usually just watch. Don't participate, spectate. 20% of the people do the work of the church and the work of the ministry. What I want to do through the beginning of this year and through this series is to help that 80-20 computation get turned around. And I want 80% or 100% of you all to be involved in the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And it can be and will be through the ministry of this local body. I want you to find through this time the way God is calling you, equipped you to serve Him. Spiritual gifts. Now, you may remember me sharing this, but I'm going to do it again. Over these next weeks, we're going to look at these points. First of all, the control over spiritual gifts, as we focus on today. Secondly, then, the community of spiritual gifts. Thirdly, the challenge to spiritual gifts. And then fourthly, chief among the spiritual gifts. Now, let's again focus our attention on this matter that God indeed controls spiritual gifts. He gives gifts to you as He chooses. And I want you to please stay with me closely this morning, because I've been praying that God would imprint this into your heart so that we can move together as a congregation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, follow with me as I read verses 1 through 11. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the spiritual abilities that the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know, when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along by worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise counsel. To another, the same Spirit gives the message of special knowledge. This same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now remember, we're reading from the book or the letter of 1 Corinthians. Some of you will remember the culture there in Corinth. The town was inundated with priests and priestesses, with temple prostitutes, with soothsayers and practitioners of all kinds of mystery religions. In other words, you could go into Corinth in those days and have any kind of religious experience you wanted. And so Paul is addressing these people who were in that culture. They could go and experience the darkest of dark of evil in these types of temples. They could enter in and be given all kinds of lies and deceit. And they would go from one to another. And so Paul is instructing them from the very beginning. He says, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to tell you. You know that while you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols, so that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, or no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. At this point in the letter, Paul is saying, stop, I need your attention. Focus on me now. I don't want you to misunderstand this, because this is of great supreme importance. What you're about to experience is different from what you have experienced previously. What you are about to experience is holy and of the one true God. It is important into your life. It is vital for your spiritual growth. Take note of what I'm about to tell you. He says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit's the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same God. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. Here, Paul repeats this point three times. He doesn't just say it once or twice for clarity. He says it three times for emphasis. Different gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. God works in us in different ways, but it is the same God working in us. God controls spiritual gifts. And if that is not enough, again, he wrapped it up, wrapped this portion up in verse 11 by saying, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So Paul is essentially telling us three things of real importance that we need to take hold of. Number one, God has given each of us a spiritual gift. If you're a believer, God has implanted in you an ability, divine ability, to serve Him through the ministry of a church to help the body and to extend the truth. You say, man, I think he left me out. I mean, I've tried a thing or two, but I can't find that which I'm really called to do. Well, not only has God given each of us a spiritual gift, these gifts are different, separate, and individual. Yours will not be the same as mine. God intentionally set it up this way. And thirdly, God is the source of all of our gifts, and he gives as he has enabled. So again, you don't get to choose. I don't get to choose. Only God chooses. I want you to remember back with me a minute to Psalm 139. We studied that together and studied it in some detail. And what we noted in Psalm 139 was that God himself was present during the creative process that took me from my mother's womb into being birthed into this world. In fact, the Bible says that God was there sewing us together. God was there placing our DNA just as he saw fit. And then we're told that God prepared our steps. Now, here's the thing. God didn't create you just to be you. I mean, I'm glad he did. But the intended end of God in your creation was that you live a life serving him. Not just so you can soak up his blessings, but so that he can use you in his kingdom work. So if God was there from the very beginning and he sewed us, knit us together, placed our DNA exactly as he chose, and then set forward our steps, the way of our life, we must know then that God implanted in us a holy ability to serve him and to serve his people. Well, how do you know what your gift is? Well, stay with me these last few minutes. First of all, let me tell you that it's not a game with God. He is not playing hide and seek with you. He is not saying, go try this, go try this, go try that, or go try that. And you say, I don't fit here, I don't fit here, I don't fit there, I don't fit, I can't find where I fit. It's not a matter of hot and cold. God says, you're getting warmer. Yeah, move in that direction. You're getting warmer. No, oh, no, colder. Spiritual gifts that are given to enable us to serve God is not a game with God. So how do we know? How do we find our giftedness in the Lord? Well, some of you have probably taken this spiritual gifts assessment material, and you've gone through and I've used it. I've done it personally. I've led it in a church, and in fact, a couple of churches, where we try to identify what our gifts are. And that is helpful to some degree. But I've come to the conclusion that that is a wrong model. That is an erroneous template for us to discover our spiritual gifts. Here's why. If you get nothing else from this morning, get this. You don't have to fit into a mold. You don't have to fit into a scheme. You don't have to check boxes or leave them blank so that you can find out what the passion and fire of God is in you. You are the mold. God created you to be the scheme. I want to know what your passion is. I want to know what the fire of God is burning in you. I want to know what it is when you look around that grieves your heart. I want to know what it is when you see something, it breaks through joy to you. I want to know what is in your heart to serve God. You may be a carpenter, and you can say, man, put me on a list that when one of our widows or shut-ins needs some light carpentry work done, let me know. You may be good in plumbing and say the same thing. You may have an advertisement background. You may have some other type of job or a gift that will enable you to serve the people of God and reach into the community with love. And I want to know what that passion, what that gift, what that ability is. Because, folks, in the midst of COVID, who knows what the church is going to look like tomorrow? We've got to find new ways to reach people. We've got to find new ways to minister God's grace. Let me close with this. I feel like I've been typing my entire life. I got my first computer when I started my doctoral process. They said we had 8 years to finish it, and they said you can't finish it without a computer. So I went and bought my first computer. Wrote a sermon on it, was getting ready to do the conclusion, hit the wrong button, and it disappeared. I sat away for 2 weeks, but I picked it back up. So from that time on, I have been typing on a computer. If you know anything about typing, you know that there are start keys. You put your fingers on these start keys, and then muscle memory comes in, so you just, and I can fly too. But sometimes, like when I'm copying a passage out of the Bible, or maybe I'm copying a quote that I'm looking at, and so I'm reading that passage that I'm going to type into the sermon. So I look at the passage, I set my fingers down, and I just... And I don't look up until I've got the whole passage done. You know, I even know sometimes if I make a mistake. But then I turn and look at the page, and it's so confusing. It makes no sense. It's an absolute mess. Nobody could read what I just wrote. It most certainly wasn't the word, not the word of God. What's the problem? Has my typing skills left me? You know, my fingers not working? The problem happened, and this happens quite regularly. The problem is I got my fingers on the wrong start keys. And because of that, nothing worked. It's kind of a mess. You know what? You may feel that way. You say, man, Johnny, I've tried to serve, and somebody hurt my feelings. I've tried to serve, and I just got this, somebody was trying to control me, have this ungodly authority over me. I've tried, and I can't find where I belong. Well, folks, realize that these passages that talk about spiritual gifts, Romans 12 through 14, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and other passages that speak about the spiritual gifts that God gives, realize these are representative. These are descriptive words telling us the kinds of things that God gives us. It's not that we have to fit rigidly into some mold. Not that at all. Let's not start with the mold. Let's start with God building a fire in you. God building hope and desire and commitment in you that you will allow this dream of God to begin. The way God intended to use you since He began sewing you together.
Thank you for joining us for this Highland sermon from Dr. Johnny Funderburg. If you live in the Clovis, New Mexico area, we'd love to have you join us one Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located at 2201 North Main Street in Clovis. For more information about our church, visit highlandclovis.com. And to let us know a little bit more about you, choose the Connect tab and click on our online visitor card. You can also submit your prayer requests under the Connect tab. Lastly, follow us on Facebook at hbc.clovis to keep up to date with our announcements, events, and online services.